1 Kings chapter 18, as we've been studying the life of Elijah, we're coming near the end of this study. So we've been looking in the time of adversity of what we have looked at in this study. We've been looking at, in our lifetime, how we here in this present time have adversities. Well, Elijah had adversity as well. Now, we've seen his journey from calling out of the land of Tishbite to come to the palace and talk to King Ahab and looking at King Ahab and telling him to his face, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. And God takes him to the brook Cherith, and then he takes him to the widow of Zarephath, and now he brings him back from the widow of Zarephath after 3.5 years to confront Ahab again. They've had, last week we saw the battle, the rival between not Ahab and Elijah, and not between the prophets of Baal and Elijah, not between the priestesses of Ashtaroth and Elijah. We saw the battleground, the battle of Mount Carmel between the true rivals, Jehovah and Satan. And really, there's no contest. Jehovah is going to win every time. And we saw last week the response of Jehovah God, where he called, Elijah did simple prayer, and God called down, Elijah called down fire from heaven. It wasn't any power on Elijah's part, it was God answering the prayer of Elijah, but God showing that he is God. Not only consumed the offering, not only consumed the wood on the offering, consumed the rocks and consumed all the water, and God showed up. Tonight we begin in verse 41. Is where we'll be in 1 Kings 18. But when my wife and I, we were stationed on the West Coast in Southern California, and part of my tour with the United States Navy, we came to the point when we missed a good southern rainstorm. It didn't rain out in Southern California like it does here, like we had in the last couple nights. You don't have green grass. You don't have green trees. You have concreted front yards painted green. You have some palm trees, but mostly if you want to see green, you go about an hour's drive outside of San Diego and you come up to the eucalyptus hills, and they're covered with eucalyptus plants. Well, I'm allergic to eucalyptus, so that went real well. But we missed a good southern rainstorm. Every day you would wake up in similar weather. Now, when I wrote this, I was like, what's so bad about that? 70s to 80s every day. No humidity. Clear with no storm on the horizon. Sounds like the perfect place to live, doesn't it? Well, now it does, but back then it was like, I sure miss home. We got to the point where we would have loved to have heard a good storm. Rain can bring soothing. Rain can bring calmness. It can bring peace, tranquility. It slows and relaxes your pace. The rain has value in our lives as much as it has value in life. And the plant life and the animal life. During a dry season, there is anticipation for a coming rain. Farmers that have had a prolonged dry season become concerned, worry for their crops and livestock. Citizens in the western part of our state now have endured a prolonged dry season. It's a serious matter. Where are they going to get water to continue to have civilization in the western part of our state? The Colorado River has not got enough water to supply all of western United States. When the rain comes, though, after a prolonged dry season, there is reason to rejoice. God's word is like rain. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let me show you just a few verses here tonight. before we get into our study. Deuteronomy chapter 32, we'll begin in verse number 1. Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 1, the Word of God says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain." My doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is our beliefs and teachings. Where do our beliefs and teachings come from? From the Word of God. It says, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. As a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God." Word of God is like rain, the Bible teaches us here. Then over in Isaiah chapter number 55, we also see in verse 10 where the Word of God is compared to rain. In Isaiah 55 and verse number 10, the Word of God says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." The Word of God is likened unto rain. But also in the Old Testament, we are shown rain is given often in the response to obedience of God's people. In Leviticus chapter 26, we see one of these instances. In Leviticus 26 and verse number 3, it says, "If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season. And the Lord and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit." So if you obey me, I will send rain in due season. Also over lastly, in 2 Chronicles chapter number 6. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 6, again, it shows us here that rain is given in response to obedience of God's children. In verse 26 of 2 Chronicles 6, "When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray towards this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants, and of the people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way, wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance." So the Word of God is likened unto rain, and the Word of God is given in the Old Testament towards obedience of God's children. There's a story told about an old country church in the western part of our state years and years ago. And an old Native American Indian walked into the church one day and attended the Sunday morning service. And the preacher's message lacked real spiritual food. So he did a lot of shouting and a lot of pulpit pounding to cover up his lack of preparation. In fact, as it's sometimes said, he preached up quite a storm. After the service, someone spoke to the old Native American Indian, a Christian himself, and he asked what he thought of their preacher's message. He was quiet for a moment. And he summed up the preacher's message in six words. He says, "High wind, Big thunder, no rain. Yes, when the scriptures are neglected, there is no rain. Only when preaching is based on God's word are His people blessed and refreshed. We, in our nation, in our county, in our homes, in our churches, we are in desperate need of spiritual rain. There are some prerequisites, though, to spiritual rain. And we have seen many of those in Elijah's life through this study. We come to another tonight. Back in our text tonight, 1 Kings chapter 18, notice verse 41. Notice the words. And Elijah said unto Ahab, the Mount Carmel showdown is finished. The altar of Baal is sitting there with the altar still, the offering still on it, untouched. And Elijah's offering's been consumed, and the rocks have melted, and the water's gone, and just a bare spot. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. A sound of abundance of rain. What we have here is the rain is going to be a blessing. The rain is coming, but it's not here yet. And we have a sound of the blessings. I hear, he says, the sound of a blessing coming. I can't see it. I can't touch it. I don't feel it. But it's on the way. How do I know it's coming this way? Maybe Ahab said. Because he's scanning the horizon and it's blue skies as far as he can see. No rain clouds whatsoever. How do you know it's coming? Because I hear the sound. Well, Ahab's like, I don't hear anything. The closer a blessing gets, the louder it gets. Think of a train. Remember growing up and you put your ear to the railroad tracks or put your hand on the railroad tracks or try to walk on the railroad tracks and a train is coming. You can feel its vibration. When hail is a neighborhood over or two neighborhoods over, you can hear hailstorm blocks away. There is an anticipation of a blessing coming right here. Elijah doesn't see the rain. He doesn't feel the rain. He can't taste or touch the rain or smell the rain. But he can hear it. It's coming. It's anticipation. Elijah speaks these words in a place and in a time where there had not been one drop of rain, not one drop of dew on the ground for 3.5 years. What would the rain mean to the inhabitants of Israel? It would mean life. It would mean recovery. It would mean restoration. The rivers will run again and flow again. Fish will swim in the streams again, and they'll be caught and be eaten again. The crops will be able to be planted and to grow again. There will be joy where there's only been sorrow. There will be laughter where there's only been weeping. Rain is often in the Word of God associated with spiritual refreshment from the Word of God. Who here tonight needs some spiritual refreshing? Who here tonight needs a blessing? I tell you tonight, it's on the way. You might not be able to see it. The circumstances might look dire. You might say, I can't taste it, I can't feel it, I can't see it, I can't hear it. It's coming. A spiritual blessing is on the way. It's on the way. Help from on high is on the way. The answer to your dilemma is on the way. A breakthrough is on the way. There's just something powerful about knowing it's coming. That may put fire back in our soul, might put a fight back in our spirit, give us strength to hold on to what God has promised. I'm not sure whom I'm talking to tonight, either attending or through live stream or watching later. But you've prayed. You've been faithful and praying. You've maybe even fasted. You've cried out and confessed. And from every natural evidence around you, nothing's changed. Elijah looks around and, yes, God just showed up. But we're 3.5 years without rain. God, we need rain. You told me to tell Ahab rain is coming. I look out, there's no clouds. It's clear blue skies. God says, it's coming. And Elijah says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And we look around our situation and we say, Lord, we've prayed. Lord, we've fasted. Lord, we've cried out to you. Lord, we're doing what you've asked us to do. And we see no natural evidence of anything changing around us. And if the truth was known, maybe we're almost ready to give up. For that lost loved one that we've prayed for years. For that dilemma we're going through that nobody knows about. I'm about ready to just go through the arm of my strength and fix it. The Lord has a message for us tonight from this text. Change is in the atmosphere. The rain is coming. Restoration is coming. Healing is coming. Peace is coming. Joy is coming. He said, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. I don't see any evidence, Lord. I don't see any sign. Sound is the sign. It's coming. An anticipation of the blessings coming. But there's also an action that precedes blessings. Notice verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. There's an action that precedes blessings from the Lord. What does the Bible teach us in the book of Romans? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we're not in this book, blessing's not coming. If we're not praying to the God of this book, a blessing is not coming. The word sound in verse 41 does not just mean a noise. The word sound, where he says there is a sound of abundance of rain, can also mean a voice or a proclamation. So God has spoken to Elijah and said, rain is coming, but not just rain, an abundance of rain is coming. We saw a few weeks ago that really this is a display of mercy and grace by God, because there has been no great revival in the land of Israel. There's still following after Baal and Ashtaroth. But God is going to extend mercy. There is a declaration here from the invisible realm. Blessings are coming. But who needs to have their faith reach another level tonight? Or maybe it needs to be brought back up to where it used to be tonight. Have you been struggling through the wilderness of life? I'm here to tell you, life is coming. Blessings are coming. What is this rain to the Israelites? Well, basically, they would look at it in a carnal nature, a fleshly, earthly nature. They'd look at it and say, it's life. It's for life to live. What is spiritual rain to the Israelites? Another chance. Another chance to turn back to God. Remember, Elijah asked them, if Jehovah be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. And they answered him, not a word. And the display of the great power of God on Mount Carmel, still no great revival. The spiritual rain, not just the physical rain, but the spiritual rain, was another chance to turn back to God. What is the spiritual rain to you and I tonight? The rain is God's power visiting our homes, our lives, our churches, our communities, and whatever area or areas are in drought, are in lack of, or are broken, or are empty. That's spiritual rain. The rain is God taking every plan, every plot, every scheme, every fiery dart that devil has launched at you, and he's turned it around for good. The rain was on the way, but there was still action that must be done. Ahab, it says in verse 42, Ahab went up to eat and to drink. So Ahab went up to play. Elijah went down to pray. E.M. Bounds, one of the great authors about prayer, said about prayer, he said, God does nothing except an answer to prayer. Wow. What are you lacking tonight? What are you missing tonight? What are you empty of tonight? What are you drought in your life from tonight? What are you lacking tonight? What are you broken from tonight? Are you praying about it? Are you asking God to fill it, to restore it? Send the abundance rain. Have things become stagnant around you? Nothing seems to be moving. Keep on praying. Notice Elijah has gone up to Mount Carmel and he's cast himself down in a very feeble position, supplicating and humbling himself before God. He sends his servant to go check and see if there's a cloud, an answer to his prayer. He's what he's looking for. Go see if there's an answer to our prayer that there's a cloud forming. He goes out and he looks over the Mediterranean Sea and he looks. No cloud. Comes back and he tells Elijah, there's no cloud. Elijah perseveres. He doesn't just pray one prayer. He continues in prayer. He continues to seek God, have God answer his prayer. He sends him back seven times. How many of us would have lasted seven times? Well, God must have another plan after three tries or four tries, or maybe just two tries, or maybe six tries. How many times have we given up just before God was coming to act? every miracle, every breakthrough, every lost relative, every prodigal, every loved one who's addicted to drugs or some other addiction, have we quit praying? Have we given up? Elijah continued. Do we want to see that breakthrough? Do we want to hear that abundance of rain, but not just hear it? Do we want to see it? Don't give up. Don't give up. As Elijah goes to the Mount Carmel up top and prays and begins to labor in prayer for what he had heard in his spirit of that sound, that proclamation, that voice of the abundance of rain coming. And as he sends his servant to go out and look to the sea for an answer, and his servant comes back and says, "There's nothing, Elijah. I don't see any evidence of your prayer being answered." How many would give up? "Well, God didn't hear me. God's too busy." Oh, you're sounding like the prophets of Baal now. Don't give up. Elijah keeps praying. He sends his servant back and back and back and back. 7 times he sends him back. And while the servant is running back and forth, Elijah's still praying. We have to keep praying. When we have a word from God in our spirit, we must keep praying. Daniel prayed for 20 days with no evidence whatsoever that God had heard him. 20 days. And on the 21st day, a breakthrough came. Michael, the warring angel, broke into the battle, and Gabriel got through with the message that God had sent him 21 days earlier. God will do whatever it takes to get to you if we do not give up. We keep on praying, keep on praising, keep on confessing, keep on tithing, keep on sowing, keep on singing, keep on rejoicing. Let's not let the devil see us waver in our faith. Delay in God's answer is not denial. Elijah kept praying, and he kept praying, and he kept praying. A delay in the answer is not a no from God. Abraham was delayed 25 years before he received the birth of Isaac. He was delayed, but he was not denied. Joseph was delayed 15 years to see the fruition of the dreams God gave him. Joseph was delayed. He was not denied. Lazarus was delayed 4 days in the grave, but he was not denied. Mary and Martha prayed and sought Jesus to come. They thought he had delayed and it was too late. Mary and Martha were delayed 4 days, but they were not denied. Habakkuk and the minor prophets in our Old Testament, Habakkuk chapter 2, let me read it for you. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am approved." The book of Habakkuk is a very interesting book. Habakkuk is asking, questioning God. Why are you allowing Gentile, heathen nations to judge your people? He says, "I'm going to stand upon my watch. I'm going to wait for an answer." Continues in verse 2 and says, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it." Verse 3 is the key. "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. God's answer is always right on time. Right on time. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God will keep his promises. And we know in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, it says that God cannot lie. Well, if God cannot lie, God cannot break a promise. And if God has promised us something, and my, this book is full of promises for his children, then he's going to keep that promise. You may be facing a delay, but you're not going to be denied a promise of God. We don't pray, though, because we feel like it. We don't pray just because it's the Christian thing to do, or because it sounds like a good idea. We pray, and Elijah here understood that he is praying because he has an objective that can only be fulfilled and won and conquered when God shows up. So what is the objective you are praying for? Don't give up. Elijah is still praying. And prayer is serious business, hard work, spiritual warfare. Somebody said one time, many Christians pray with such lukewarmness and such indifference and such uncertainty that they wouldn't even recognize the answer to prayer when it came. Oh my. We see that anticipation of a blessing. We see the action that precedes a blessing. But what about the attitude prior to the blessing? The attitude prior to the blessing. Look at verse 44. And it came to pass at the seventh time. Seven times this servant has run back and forth from the prominent point of Mount Carmel overlooking the Mediterranean Sea and back to Elijah. Seven times he's come back and forth with no answer. No evidence, Elijah, that your prayers are even being heard, much less answered. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And Elijah says, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It's just a little cloud in the far distance. If I held up my hand, it looks like it's that big in the distance. Elijah's servant brings back this negative report, until Elijah says, just keep going back. Well, the seventh time he comes back with, there's a little cloud. When there is evidence of God moving, talking about the attitude prior to your blessings, prior to your breakthrough, when there is evidence, even the smallest glimmer of evidence of God moving, you can make it. You can make it through the storm that you're going through. When there is evidence of God moving, you can rejoice in the fiery furnace of life. When there is evidence of God moving, you can sleep like a baby in a den of lions. When there is evidence of God moving, you can beat the famine with a little meal and a little oil. The evidence was so small, it didn't look like much But Elijah's faith and attitude grabbed upon it. He said, oh, God's answered my prayer. There's something about faith that lets you see the greatness in little things. Faith can see a weapon of destruction in the jawbone of an ass. Samson's case. Faith can see a meal for a multitude in a sack lunch. Faith can see an oil business in a room full of empty jars. Faith can see a king in a simple shepherd boy. The servant saw a little cloud, but Elijah saw a river-filling, ground-soaking, drought-busting rainstorm. I don't care how big the problem we face or how long it's existed. The promises of God come in concentrated form. And one little word from God should set us free, shouting with joy, He's coming. The breakthrough's coming. So I ask you tonight, do you hear the sound of the abundance of rain? Has your spirit been dry for so long? And you felt so distant from the presence of God? Have you been fighting a long battle, health-wise, financial-wise, work-wise? Have you been going through a long, dry place with your family? It seems like things just get worse and worse. You try to love them, you try to embrace them, and they just push you away and run away farther and harder. Ask God. And ask God, and ask God, and ask God to send the rain. Even the sound of the abundance of rain. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse number 1 says, ask ye of the Lord rain. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain. Elijah got off his knees when his servant came back and said, there's a cloud forming. He goes and has Ahab told, it's here. Where? That little thing. The rain's here. If you don't get your chariot rolling, you're not getting off this mountain. And while Elijah was prophesying, the wind began to blow. Notice verse 45. And it came to pass, in the meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds and with wind. And there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. While Elijah was prophesying, the wind blew and the clouds turned black and the rain came. Elijah had heard it in his spirit. He prophesied it with his mouth, and then he saw it with his eyes. We don't live by sight. That would make it easy. We don't live by sight. Elijah did not live by faith. God has been taking him on a journey of faith-building exercises. From the time he left home to the brook Cherith, to the widow of Zarephath, and now to Mount Carmel, and now after Mount Carmel, God is increasing his faith. He's heard it in his spirit, the sound of the abundance of rain. The answer to prayer, the blessing of God is coming. He spoke about it before it was there. Verse 44. Then he saw it with his eyes. Everyone thought Elijah was crazy. And they were just getting ready to see this power of Elijah's God there on Mount Carmel. But now, it's not just those that have gathered at Mount Carmel. The land of Israel was getting ready to experience the abundance of rain. The mercy of God. When we hear in our spirit the still small voice of God, praise Him. Thank Him. We should praise Him like a man in a desert who is dying for thirst of water and he has stumbled into an oasis. Praise Him because the breakthrough is over. You say, it's not here yet. It's coming. If you've gotten that still small voice, it's coming. You're not going to see it first. You're going to hear the voice. You're going to talk about it. Praise God about it. And then it's coming. And you'll be able to see it. Praise Him because the drought is over. Heavenly Father, there are times in our life, multiple times, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, that we go through struggles. We go through battles. We face adversity. Help us not to give up in praying and seeking You. Help us to keep attentive ears listening for the sound of the still small voice of God. And when we hear it, oh, may we shout about it, rejoice about it, proclaim it to others. Even before it comes, help us to shout and rejoice. And then the evidence will be before us. What a mighty God we serve. There is no difficulty, no task, no dilemma that is too hard for You. Help us not to give up, to remain faithful, to send our servant 7 times if we have to go look, and keep pressing on. Bless Your people. Help them overcome the obstacles, the droughts, the brokenness, the adversity they're facing. Send the spiritual rain in their lives, I pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.